Good morning on this fine Monday, August 16th, 2021. Welcome to the Bipolar Bear Podcast. You're here. I'm here. We're here. Anyway, I'm a little bit disheveled this morning. A little discombobulated. Ooh, that would be a good word of the day. But no, conundrum will remain the word of the day forever. I swear. Anyway. Got a lot going on. So my head was kind of filled this weekend with all the things that I'm thinking about and, new job opportunities and all that kind of fun stuff. And trying to figure out the balance of like how things are going to work out once I'm not sitting at home all day long working. I'll be working from an office at this particular position if all goes to plan. So that might change my ability to, or at least when I'm going to be able to do like music, podcasting, some of these other things. So no worries there. I'll still be able to fit all this stuff into my schedule. It's just going to be probably a different time. I'm almost wondering if I'll do something later in the evening most days. And then that'll be what I post for the next day. I think you can do like a scheduled release on Anchor. So I'll have to look into that. But anyway, I don't think it'll matter too much. Hopefully these things can continue to help me and hopefully they help you as well. So we can keep on going down this road together. How exciting. Yeah. So, spent a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to be doing the next, in the next chapter of my life here. Oddly, I have like some reservations about putting in my notice. I always find that kind of like it's almost like a breakup. Even if I've been treated poorly and things haven't worked out, I feel kind of awkward doing it. Whatever. We'll see how that goes. I'm waiting on, just to be safe, I like to make sure all ducks are in a row because there's always contingencies to offers of employment, like background checks and all that kind of stuff. So I just want to make sure all that stuff goes through. Not that I have anything to worry about with any of that kind of things, any of those kind of things, but I like to make sure that we're 100% in the clear so I don't go, hey, I'm giving my notice, and then somehow some odd thing comes up. I'm just paranoid like that. So I like to make sure all the ducks are in a row and everything's ready to go before I reveal my next steps. I actually even thought about not even telling them. Just kind of like letting it just fall apart on its own and seeing how long that actually would take before they're like, hey, what are you doing? You're fired. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, I've been working somewhere else. But because there's a conflict of interest, there would be a conflict of interest, I think, to some, at least to a small degree. I mean, these are both MSPs, so it would be kind of like, we're not stealing customers and we're not, like, the information that I have isn't overly relevant, other than for an example of what not to do. But there's no proprietary information I'm taking with me that I have from the current employer that would help and benefit the next employer directly in any way. It's not like I'd be taking a list of clients or any contacts or things like that, let's call these people up and try to get them as a customer. I don't even know how any of that stuff is structured here. So there would be none of that anyway, but I don't know. That just seems like the ultimate shitbag to give somebody. I actually considered having two engineering jobs for a while I've been home. It's like, I probably could do a fairly entry, not entry level, but mediocre kind of like medium level engineering role at the same time. I could hold two jobs. It wouldn't be that hard to do that, especially working from home. But it never came to pass. I never really pursued it. And, again, how much do I really need to make, right? I mean, what is the objective here? To work myself to death for a little bit of extra money or to, have a better quality of life? And I'm trying to go for that better quality of life. I'm still very concerned to some degree about this, the travel time that I'm going to be putting in for this one. But I guess I'll have to reserve my feelings until I'm actually doing it for a while and then review it and see if it makes any sense. That said, I applied to a bunch of jobs on Apple too. They have all kinds of remote open positions. So maybe they'll give me a holler and send something my way. I'm pretty sure that every other opportunity that I had has expired at this point. We're not going to be moving forward on any of them. The last one was I had a coding test and I could only answer really one of three questions. I did get the one question correct, but one out of three, ain't no two out of three ain't bad, right, Meatloaf? So I would imagine if they're looking for somebody that can write API code and things like that, I'm not that guy. So probably not something that's going to be pursued by either party. I just let them know, you know, I'm a very honest person. Like I've revealed here to myself and to you and everyone else. It's just, I don't find any joy in lying and bullshitting. I'll tell you how it is. And a lot of that is to my own detriment, you know, but I don't want to go through life being a lying sack of shit. I really don't, no matter what it is, you know, I feel like that's just, I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea, man. It's not my bag. I'm not here to present myself in a way that's untrue. I'm trying so desperately to find a real fit. So the only way to do that and something genuine is to be who you are and not hold back on that. And when you have shortcomings, just call them out. You know, hey, I don't write code. I've never done it before as a profession. So you can't put me up against somebody that's been doing it for 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years. I'm not skilled like that. So why would I lie about that? I mean, you could argue that, well, I could have cheated on, and I even said this, I'm like, well, the only way for me to really have answered these questions would be to have cheated, you know, and that's, I'm sure that's not the intention of the test. It's not for me to pull up another computer and start looking up the answers and then just copying somebody else's work and submitting that as my own. And yay, now I got the job that I can't do. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I mean, have some integrity, man. You can't cheat on these things. I mean, you can, but why would you? Ultimately, you're going to have to do this. If they want you to be able to pass a test that has this kind of question in it, and I can't do that, then how am I going to be successful in this role? So I take that very seriously. You know, like I say it and it sounds good and all that, but I actually mean it. Like I'm not looking just to get a job, just to get a job so I can get away from what I'm doing now. I'm looking for the right position for me, the right fit for me and for the organization that I work for. And to do that, I think transparency, honesty, all that stuff comes into play in huge quantities. And if you're not being that way, you're not going to find the right position. You're just not. Sorry, that's my take on it. That doesn't mean that I'm criticizing anyone else. If you're a lying sack of shit and that's what you do to get jobs, I mean, good for you. But I can't imagine that there's that many people that are doing that. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of people in positions failing. And that, I don't know, that seems somewhat counterproductive. But maybe, what do I know? Maybe this doesn't apply to a lot of other jobs, but in technology, you have to know what you're doing if you're going to do the technology. If you're a doer, you have to know how to actually do these things or figure them out on the fly, or you're going to struggle greatly, you know, and there's not always somebody else you can ask or someone that's going to help you. There's this implied knowledge that comes with your skill set that if you don't have it, you don't have it. So to me, it doesn't make any sense to lie about shit like that. I'm not so desperate. And like I've said before, I'm, you know, at this point in the game, no matter how this stuff plays out, I think I finally come to terms with the fact that if I don't have a job, so be it. I am so sick and tired of all of the package that comes along with the package of stress that comes along with these, just having a career these days. I mean, I just can't worry about this stuff anymore. It just, if somebody fires me or they don't want me around anymore, so what? Good for you. I'll just collect unemployment for a while, for whatever it is, 6 months, whatever they allow you to do it. And we'll struggle for a little while until I find the next gig. But 6 months is a long time to be able to look around for a position if things don't work out. And as I said, I mean, my wife doesn't make a ton of money, but she does have a job. She makes money. It's not like nothing. It would just be a radical change from our nonchalant attitude toward money. We'd have to, you know, cut back on a lot of things. But as I've said before, you know, having a job is expensive too. I mean, working from home kind of negates that to a large degree, but you know, when you're driving somewhere every day and you're buying coffees and buying lunch and doing all that kind of stuff, it's expensive. Or at least there's a cost associated with it. I mean, it's not free, right? So there's something going on there. And it's surprising how little money you need when you don't have to go or anywhere or do anything. You can really get by with a lot less. You know, so anyway, I don't really know why I went down that road, but you know, did I mention I have a couple new songs that I put together? I'm kind of cool with what I'm doing. You know, I actually sat down to do some synthwave because I'm a big synthwave fan. And I put out an album and an EP not long ago under the pseudonym Solar Cities. That's doing absolutely nothing. I mean, you know, that's how Spotify and these sites are. If you're not promoting it and it's not your sole thing, you'd have to be pretty big before you can put out another artist and think that it's going to happen and take off or get really lucky. And this hasn't done that. So, unfortunately, but I was listening to it the other day and I really dig synthwave. It's like an 80s revival. If you don't know what synthwave is, it's like the music, the electronic music when I was a kid in the late 80s, that came out that, you know, like Depeche Mode and Erasure and New Order and Yaz and stuff like that. Information Society? Yeah, there was a bunch of them that, you know, I really enjoyed. It was all pop music, but it was all, you know, electro pop. It was like all done with keyboards and synthesizers and electronics rather than live instruments. And it has kind of like this revival called synthwave or retrowave. And it's just really a couple of my favorite artists are Allison and Home, H-O-M-E. And they make it's this really, I don't know if you've ever played GTA 5 when Trevor is falling from the sky, they're playing synthwave, you know, he's like, it's a part of the game, the mission where you're falling from the sky. And it's interesting, that they would play that kind of music, but it's really surrounded by that aesthetic of neon and those really bright, vivid colors. And there's a whole episode in Black Mirror that goes into this, but it's, For whatever reason, because that's when I grew up, there's just, well, that this is the reason. There's an enormous amount of nostalgia around that for me. And I just love that. That's like, I'm actually a fan of the music. I think it's really, really cool. Interestingly enough, though, the stuff that I did, I really like what I did, but I think it might be too much like the 80s. Like it actually sounds like it came out of the 80s because that's what I was going for. But there's a different aesthetic that kind of the newer generations are doing where they're kind of crudifying it even more than it was. Like these things were, this was like professionally done, full, you know, multi-million dollar recording studio kind of stuff back in the day. So it sounded really good. But now the vibe of this is a little bit more like, it's almost like lo-fied. So it's taken and it's kind of like crusted up a little bit and made to sound worse, where the stuff that I did had the same styling as that genre, but it also had the same high quality attempt. I didn't make it sound like shit. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's not as popular today. Or it's just people don't dig it or have never been able to find Solar Cities out on Spotify or Apple Music or, you know, YouTube Music or whatever. My point is I was going to start working on another album. And I'm telling you, man, I found these sick ass freaking jazz chords. Oh my God. I don't know where or why I've just all of a sudden figured this out, but everything I play now is like right along the genre of like almost real jazz to me. Like I'm adding like my own hip hop beats and things that I'm creating that way too. So I'm not using really like full jazz, like a drummer or something like that. But I am definitely doing, in my opinion, some kind of modern jazz that is I guess you would call it like jazz hop or lo-fi hip hop, but it's really much more rooted in jazz. And man, I'm getting into these really funky chords that allow you to play like chromatically and all these weird scales on top of them. So anyway, this song ended up going in a totally different direction and went right down into the jazz hip hop kind of funk soul thing. So finish that off, even put all the horns down, everything, it's done. I mastered it. It's ready to go. So it's another song. I've got another. I have like an album that I still am considering releasing. So I have singles coming out to like October, I think. Somewhere into October. So I might put out another album of all of those songs. And then I've already got three new songs towards another album. It's like, man, I'm so far ahead of the game still. And it, you know, again, it doesn't matter. My following on most streaming platforms is pretty shitty now. It's not really doing much at this point, but it's nice to keep on putting out music that I really like, because I enjoy, like, you know, like I said, I listen to my own podcast. I really listen to my own music a lot too, because I really like it. I actually like what I'm doing. And that's probably the biggest killer of why it's so difficult to stomach and accept the fact that it's not popular, is that I actually like it. So to me, it feels like, am I the only fan out there that's really into this stuff? I mean, I really dig what I'm doing. I go back and listen to my songs quite a bit because, you know, they're very personal to me. I know a lot of artists talk about how I don't ever listen to my own stuff. I listen to my own stuff all the time, probably more than I listen to anybody else's stuff, because I love the thoughts that come rushing back into my head when I remember when I did a song and what time that was in my life and what I was feeling and thinking and experiencing and all the stuff that may have been going on at that point. It's I don't know if I would say it's therapeutic, but it's very nostalgic for me. And even, like I said, the synthwave music that I have done is very much that way. Not as much in the sense that I'm recalling when I wrote them all, but more like I'm recalling a period of my life when that kind of music was playing and it was popular and I listened to it. It reminds me of being a kid and fall days and watching the homecoming parade and all these just amazing memories come rushing back when I think about it, like riding my bike on the first ramp my dad built me, and then the quarter pipe we used to have, and then all the ramps that were in the neighborhood that we used to ride our bikes on, and just crazy memories playing street hockey, you know, going swimming, playing Atari, all that fun stuff comes rushing back. And I don't know if I've just reached a point in my life where that stuff matters more, but I really enjoy thinking back on when I was a kid. Now in my late 40s, you know, I'll be 50 in March. So it's been really, I don't know. It's just, I enjoy reminiscing. I think thinking back, and I don't live in the past or anything. Obviously I'm doing all kinds of present and future stuff. But it's nice to look back on that and think about all that stuff. And, you know, I'm really trying to take stock in my life and really be more, I don't know if the word is happy or content or satisfied or whatever, but, you know, really take in the last 49 years of my life as the experience that it is, rather than judging it as an experience and as a failure, because I'm not, you know, quote unquote, where I want to be or where I feel that I deserve to be or should be in life. I'm still struggling and having all kinds of problems. And I can get so wrapped up in that it's just so disappointing. But it almost brings it chokes me up a little bit to think that, you know, I waste so much of my life on things that just mean nothing, that just, you know, I've talked about this before, and it's like, I hope that you can see your way clear not to be like this as well. But, you know, we all have to do what we have to do, right? I mean, you have to have money, you have to have a job, you got to do something. I mean, it's just a fact. If you want to live in today's modern world, you have to make some money to do something so you can have food and insurance and, you know, shelter, you know, somewhere to live, all that kind of stuff. And those requirements are different for everyone, you know, whatever you want, but, and what your needs might be, whether you have kids, wife, you know, family, you know, whatever it is, it's unique for everyone. But I also think what's common across us all is we need to, you know, and I think we've really gotten away from this in society today. And maybe we're getting back to it when you read articles like, you know, people are just sick and tired of this, so they're quitting their jobs to stay home. You know, I don't know if it's because of the just fed up and they're lazy and they don't want to work or if they're fed up and they're just sick and tired of committing their life to a place that doesn't care about them. And I can very much relate to that wholeheartedly. But I really feel like I want to get back to, you know, a good feeling, a good place. Like, what is important to me? What makes sense to me? What is my purpose in life? What am I doing here? You know, what am I really trying to achieve in this? You know, I wrote this like saying down the other day. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know where I put it, but hang on a second. I took it from something else that I saw somewhere. It says, "The past happened and I can't change it, but I'll still have my future unwritten and waiting." So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a pretty optimistic kind of statement, right? I mean, I can't change my past. You can change things based on your past, but you can't actually change what happened, right? I mean, it already happened. It's in the past. But I like to think that, you know, or I'd like to live my life where the future is unwritten and it's everything is out there waiting for me to go out there and just say goodbye to the naysayers and the negative influences and the negative people in my life and move forward in a positive way. You know, it's a lot harder. I heard Kevin Hart talk about this the other day too. It's like, you know, don't waste your time being negative. Don't waste your time on the things that you have no control over. Just continue to move forward. And it, you know, so many successful people say this, and I absolutely believe it myself, but it's a lot harder to do than it is to say. You know, especially when you're saying it from a position of wild success where you've already achieved this. Of course you can say that because you're in a position where you've already achieved it. You're in a different state of mind than I am. I'm in that state of mind of like, I feel like a failure and a loser and a piece of shit every day because I haven't been able to achieve these things. And I haven't been able to take the achievements that I have earned and frame them in a manner that makes me feel positive. I just feel like, well, it's not enough. I didn't do this. It's not that. It's not that, you know, even though I'm moving on potentially to a new career here that's going to pay me more money and hopefully be a much better opportunity and I'm going to work with better people and all that, I still don't really see it as a success because unfortunately it's not in the thing that I want to be successful in. Because I could argue that I've been successful in technology for decades. But, you know, again, this goes back to what I've said so many times before. If you're not really doing what you love, you're always going to be seeking to do what you love full time. You know, and I could be completely talking out of my ass here. I mean, what do I know? I have not made a career out of, you know, making music, podcasting, book narration, none of that stuff. Side note, I'll update you on the book thing in a minute. I haven't been able to make that a primary source of income. So I don't know that if that became like a job that I was reliant upon for income and not just this secondary source of side hustle kind of income, that it would change how I feel about it. But nevertheless, I would love to be in control of my own future in that way and my own destiny, so to speak, so that everything was kind of on me to be, I don't know, it's semantics, right? Like everything is on me to be successful in what I'm doing now, whether it's in technology or music or whatever it might be. But I think it's different when you're the sole person responsible and in charge, and I don't have to deal with other people in the same way that you do in a traditional job. Now, that said, I'd love to be signed to a label, and I've said that before, but wouldn't that just be like taking employment from someone else? So maybe I wouldn't enjoy that. I think what I'm really trying to achieve here is something I probably never will. And that's complete financial independence through the mechanisms that I really have a passion and a true love for, which is music, podcasting, and book narration. Those are the things that I really enjoy doing each and every day and want to do and look forward to getting up to do and you know, I mean, as much as I get help from myself from doing this, I love talking into this mic. I have no idea why, but I really enjoy doing this. It's fun. It's exhilarating. It's exciting. It lets my brain just dump everything out. You know, it just so happens that the content that I'm providing isn't wildly popular. So that's a disappointment. But, you know, you can only be who you can be. I can't pretend to be, like I was just talking earlier, I can't pretend to be something I'm not. This is who I am, you know? And if the world chooses not to be on board with what I am and who I am and what I'm talking about here, then, you know, that's just the way it goes. And I'll have to find a way to be satisfied with the success of this in some other way so that I can see it as not a waste of time. And I, you know, I would gather that there's a lot of that feeling because people around me are telling me it's a waste of my time. You know, I feel embarrassed doing this podcast. You know, I mean, for the people that are closest to me, like my wife and my kids and that, I don't want them to hear any of this shit. You know, I'm embarrassed by this. This is humiliating stuff to say out loud, but I can't not say it. That's the kind of personality that I have, is that I'm completely transparent with humiliating myself. But, you know, I don't, like, I never post this podcast, probably to its detriment, on Facebook or Instagram, because I don't want people that I actually know to listen to this, because I think it would be humiliating and embarrassing to hear them talk, to hear people that I actually know listen to me talk about all the woes, woe is me crap, and oh, poor Garrett, and what a baby, and oh, I haven't been successful, and this is how I feel, and I'm so miserable, and I have bipolar disorder, and all these other friggin' things wrong with me. I feel, I don't know, I feel ashamed of that. I'm not there yet. Like, it's hard. It's like I'm hiding, you know? And I guess it's kind of contrary, because if I'm sitting here telling you that I'd want my podcast, this particular podcast, to be something that I earn a significant amount of income from and I can live off of it and support my family off of it, well, then it's going to require millions and millions and millions of people to be listening to it and follow it and support it. And of those millions and millions of people, there's no way that people that I know in my life who I talk about on here and the experiences I've had are shared on this are not going to hear this. So I guess I'm a total hypocrite in the fact that I say I want that, but at the same time, I don't do anything to promote it. You know, I put this on Twitter because I have like 8 followers on Twitter and nobody really sees it. So is it really, you know, it's almost like, am I self-sabotaging here in a way? Like, am I not promoting these things on purpose? Like, I don't promote my music anymore at all. I just put more stuff out and say, hey, new song out, go check it out. I mean, I do the absolute, you know, the sins of all sins by just telling people to go check out my music, when the reality is nobody's going to go check out your music unless they actually like you as a person. And they have a, like, some kind of connection with you. They're not going to go listen to my song because I might have written a great song. Nobody gives a shit about that. They care about you as a person. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I started doing this podcast was to better relate to people and let you know who I am and where I'm coming from, so that it might yield a larger following, because people will get to know me as a person and go, oh, you know, well, we like this guy, or we feel sorry for this guy, or whatever. Let me go check out his shit now that I've listened to hours and hours of podcasts from this guy. Let's go see what else he's all about, and do it that way. But, you know, sadly, that hasn't worked either. But what I have found, though, is that I love doing this podcast. And I love listening back to these things, because it helps me a great deal kind of digest thoughts that are in my head. And I say this so often, so I apologize if you've heard this before. But if you're new to this, this is why I do it. Is I do it for myself, most, you know, first and foremost, because I need to get all of these feelings and emotions that I have out into the ether there, into the, you know, the physical world, so that I can go back to this later and legitimately listen to it from start to finish, not for the one stream that I get, but to listen to it because it helps me. This is truly a self-help podcast. I am doing this to help myself. And I, you know, I've said always that if this helps you in some way, then that's fantastic. But I'm really not doing it for anybody but myself. I'm doing it so that I can go back and listen to this and go, why do I feel this way? And help me hear it. For whatever reason, when I hear myself say all this crap that I'm saying now in this fashion, rather than when I'm saying it in real time, I have a better sense of approach because I might be in a different frame of mind, or I'm just actually listening to what I'm saying rather than just blurting out words and rambling on like I am right now. So I can go back and listen and go, well, wow, I really feel that way about that. Why am I stuck on that? Like the whole job thing. I've listened to those parts of these podcasts a bunch of times because it's like, am I making the right decision? Is this an emotional, you know, like a genuflex kind of like knee jerk reaction because I'm just so bitter and hurt that what my previous employer, my current employer is doing to me, you know, is really upsetting me. And I just want to give him the big middle finger and just go do anything else. Or is this really a great opportunity? Or is it somewhere in the middle of both of that, of those things? Because I find it hard to believe that if I make a decision based on bitterness and scorn and you know, feeling negative, am I really entering into a new opportunity with the right frame of mind? I hope so. I don't know though. So that part makes me very nervous to think that maybe I'm not doing the right thing. And again, like I said, I don't know exactly how that's going to pan out. And while I make $0 really from podcasting at this point, I really enjoy these 45 minutes or so that I do this stuff. And that would really, I'm not really much of a morning person. It's already almost 9 o'clock here on the Eastern Standard Time. So I would absolutely, I'm pretty sure I need to be in the office by 8. So there's no way I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do a 45 minute podcast before I have to go to work. So that makes me kind of nervous too. I mean, and that's so selfish and so ridiculous, right? I mean, I'm trying to prioritize something that makes me no money over something that pays me huge amounts of money. But I feel like I'm just not listening to myself. And to what I long so much for the opportunity to finally in my life do what it is that I want to do. And maybe I'm a spoiled, selfish piece of shit because I should be thanking my lucky stars that I'm able to command a six-figure income and go get these types of jobs that are paying me a ton of money. But, you know, as I've said before, money is not the end of it. It's not the end-all, be-all, at least not for me. I like, you know, look, I don't get me wrong. I like to be able to buy my kids stuff and be able to support my family and, you know, be able to basically spend money and not really worry too much about what we're buying. And you know, again, to qualify that, we don't live some extravagant lifestyle, but if I want to go to the store and buy something and spend a couple $100, I can do it. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Like we went and my daughter and I, my 18-year-old and I, because my youngest daughter was in Florida and my older son's 21, so he's kind of on his own doing his own stuff. But she and I went for an eye exam and, you know, I spent like $750 on 3 pairs of glasses. So I needed a new pair of lenses and she wanted to get, her frames are all busted up. So she needed new frames and she wanted some prescription sunglasses. So, you know, I dropped $750 at the eyeglass place and, you know, I like that I can do that. It wasn't like, I can't do this. I don't have the money. It's like, yeah, I don't care. I can afford that. No problem. So that part of it, I really enjoy, right? That freedom that you have to, you know, but did we have to do that? No. Did she need sunglasses? No. We could have gotten away with transitions on one pair probably that would have only been another, you know, $50 or $75. It wouldn't have been another $350 for a whole nother pair of glasses. So that said, I guess I'm a little selfish and snotty and spoiled in a way that I like that component of it. But I'm just so, at this point, I'm so conflicted with what I really should be spending my time doing. And these jobs, and I guess I'll know this more once this whole thing transitions in a few weeks or however long it's going to take to get there. I'll know more about how I'm going to feel about the whole thing. But I have a real problem with these things that are just draining my life for no good reason. And I think that's my biggest problem with my current employer is that I just cannot work for somebody I don't respect and frankly don't like and has treated me poorly. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to spend my time with you. You're not worth it to me. So it's far less about money. And that's interestingly enough, the new potential position I have was like, you know, in this period, there's always that concern on the employer side. On my end, he said that, you know, you're going to get countered. And I'm like, yeah, but the reality for me is that there's no amount of money this place is going to offer me that's going to fix the problems that are here for me. I just don't want to be here anymore. You know, I didn't tell him. I'm like, you know, I'm so far gone with this that I don't give a shit that if they even fired me, good, so what? I just don't care. I didn't reveal that, but that's kind of, you know, that's the truth, is that there is no amount of money that they're going to offer me to make me stay. Because it's not about the money. It's about the treatment and the disparity and the disparagement that was levied on me. And I can't get past it. I've been trying. I think it's been like 2 months, and I can't do it. These people are just, they're not my people. If that makes any sense to you, they're not the kind of people that see the value in what I'm bringing. And I think that's where my reward will come. Like if I go into this place and we have a strong relationship and we really get to do the things that we talked about once and finally, you know, like I've been told I was going to be able to do here for almost 2 straight years that never manifested into anything, you know, I can kind of look back on that and I'm like, wow, I have no relationships, no fond memories. This was all just an ego trip. This whole job was just a joke. It was me feeling like I was this big shot and then finding out very quickly that it was simply a title and I'm not able to do any of the things that we talked about. And I was never able to achieve any of the goals that were set forth, either by me or by others. And then ultimately, I was held accountable for absolutely nothing and stripped of my position and just put back into the ranks as just some schmo. So it's like the last 18, 19 months of what I've been doing was a complete waste. Why did I even bother? So that's my big fear about this next thing is it's like, well, you know, and I guess I can always just fail and you know, then be back to square one to some degree. But I don't know. I'm having a hard time feeling like, yeah, this is it. This is the end all be all. This is going to be great. I'm super psyched about this. I'm kind of like, well, it's a lot of money again, and it's going to suck that I have to take this drive. That's for sure. And it's not about the drive. I, you know, like I said, I just leased a brand new RAV4 Prime. So I love this car. It's super cool. And I love driving it and everything else. It's the time, you know, 45 minute one-way commute sucks. I mean, I guess that's really petty, but 45 minutes of my time in the morning, at night, you know, an hour and a half I got to give up to a job. That's plus the 8 hours that I'm there. This better be a damn good job if I'm going to give up an extra hour and a half every day. You know, I mean, easily that's this podcast, that's a new song, that's the playing the horn. It's all these things that I'm not going to be able to do because I'm sitting in a stupid car. And again, I love this car. It's awesome. So I'm going to have to try to find ways to entertain myself productively because I hate wasting time like that. It's just really, you know, you guys wonder why. It's like, why does this idiot have so many freaking songs? You know, I've got like over 400 songs published. And it's like, but this guy's a joke. He's not making any money. It's because I can't sit still. And I have not been diagnosed with ADHD or, you know, any of that kind of stuff where I have a clinical problem. Maybe I do, but I don't like to waste time. If there's a time where I can do something, I'm not just sitting there watching TV. I'm doing something productive to try to make it happen. That's why I get so frustrated by the fact that I haven't really made it in any of these side gigs, is because I don't put side gig time into these things. You know, I'm spending 45 minutes doing a podcast almost every day. I'm spending hours and hours and hours and hours playing, practicing, writing, composing, recording, mastering, mixing, promoting, doing the artwork, you know, distributing all that stuff with all the music that I do. So there's no one here helping me. This is me flexing all on my own. right? I'm doing this all by myself. Nobody helps me in any way, shape, or form. And I would argue, as I have in the past, that most people in my life are hurting me because they're telling me I suck and it's a waste of time and I shouldn't be doing it and you're never going to get anywhere and all this negative crap. Nobody's supporting it and going, wow, that's a great song. And wow, that's so good. Let me promote it and let me share it with all my friends. My wife doesn't even do that. But she's the first person that tries to show me off when we go somewhere and talk about music as a, you know, if that comes up, oh, my husband does this and oh, he's done that. It's like, man, you know, why are you all about the flash and not about any of the substance? That really sucks. I don't give a crap about that. Could you help me when I'm down and when I need the help? And could you share my posts and, you know, something? I mean, good God, don't just use it as a frigging conversation piece when we're out because somebody brought up that they can sing. Oh, my husband sings. Oh, my husband does this. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up. That isn't what this is about. Not for you anyway. You're supposed to be there when it's the most difficult. And that's how people earn their place at your side, because they were there when nobody else was. But for me, nobody's been here when nobody else is. It's just me on my own having to promote myself. And I don't mean promote myself by, you know, paying for advertising. I mean, like, you know, I have to be the one to keep telling me, yeah, Garrett, this is good. Keep going, keep driving, keep doing it. These songs are great. And I truly believe that. Maybe that's why it's easy to do. Like, I really like the music that I compose. So it's easy for me to say, yeah, okay, this is good stuff, because, you know, objectively it is. That means nothing when it comes to whether it's going to be popular or not. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean shit, right? I mean, there's great songs put out by people, I'm sure, every single day that never see the light of day in terms of, you know, global popularity. And then what is popular is just crap. For the most part, there's so few great works of art and great performances and great talent that's out there. It's just, it's not there. You know, and I'm not knocking any of these people because I'm jealous that they're popular and I'm not. I mean, a big part of my problem is that the genre of music that I'm good at is not wildly popular anywhere. You know, it's just not one of those things. Like, of course you can be successful doing, you know, like modern jazz or whatever this is, lo-fi instrumental kind of music, but it's never going to be the same thing as pop music. People like to sing. That's the stuff that's on the radio. That's what the record labels deal with. So I'm never going to have that kind of success doing this at all, which is why I've not set my sights for that kind of success. You know, if I could, like I've said before, if I could make 50 or 100 grand a year doing this, that to me is a win. That is the success. But I'm 49 years old, man. I mean, how much more time do I have left to screw around with shit like this before it's just kind of like, well, you know, I mean, my life is coming to an end. And I don't mean that, you know, in some kind of morbid way. I just mean that I'm not young anymore. I'm beyond middle-aged. Right? I'm on the waning side of my life. This is all coming to an end. And what, am I going to reach this plateau in my 50s? Maybe. Maybe I'll never reach it. I mean, my luck, knock on wood, this doesn't actually happen. But my luck is, yeah, you know, it would happen and then I'd fucking drop dead the next day. That's how I feel, you know, things work for me. But maybe I'm just being a big baby. Because, you know, I've been whining about my regular engineering world jobs. And look, I'm moving on to another position now. Hopefully that, you know, and the offer that it's just a great opportunity, you know, financially and the benefits, the bonus, all that stuff is great. It's just unfortunate that I don't love it. And it's almost like trying to be in a relationship when where you know it's a great relationship and you really should love the person, but you don't. You love this other fucking person over here that's just treats you like shit, is never there for you, doesn't support you. You know, it's like I'm a glutton for punishment in that regard. And when it comes to music and entertainment and media and stuff like that, it's like I've never been given the love from that side of the house, but I always am pursuing that side to be my one and only. And that's pretty insightful for me. And I wonder why I do that. I mean, man, love makes you do some really dumb shit. And ignore, oh man, that's so profound, really, to come to that conclusion, because I've even done that in my life, like with people. I've been in relationships where the person was so great for me and so nice and so wonderful, and I left them for somebody that, not that they treated me badly, but they definitely were not the same person. But I just, you can't control what your feelings are. You can't control who you love and fall in love with, or what you fall in love with. You know, I mean, I feel like all the people that say, well, you know, music has been a calling for me my whole life and I'm wildly successful. I'm like, yeah, well, guess what? Music has been a calling for me my entire life and I've been not even mildly successful. I've been an absolute failure, basically. So imagine that one. You know, all you people that have been successful out there, you know, imagine that if you weren't successful, how you'd feel after doing it for 30 years and not achieving success, not realizing any real success. That's a real conundrum because, you know, word of the day, conundrum, well, almost to the end too. That's a real conundrum for me because it, you know, I can't stop doing it. I love this thing. I love these things. I want to do them all the time, but they don't support me in any way. So it's all relegated to hobby land. And when something's a hobby, it's just kind of bullshit. It's not the real thing. You still got to do something else to pay all the bills and to make your way in life. And I guess that's my ultimate complaint or my ultimate peeve is that I want this to be what is the one and only thing in my life. And this is all I do. But we know that's not going to happen because I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to grow a podcast. I don't know how to make music bigger. I don't know how to promote the music right. I don't know how to, I mean, I got an offer, you know, as my update was, I got an offer from somebody to read a book and then they never replied again. So it's like, you know, Jesus, man. I mean, I just can't catch a break on some of this stuff. It's like, I get all pumped up and excited. I'm like, oh, cool. Somebody reached out. They listened to my auditions. They liked it. And they're like, yeah, we'll send you a private link once we have it. It's been days and days and days and nothing. So I'm sure nothing's going to come of it. It's always a fucking letdown, man. Anyway, let's get to a poem. I'm not really sure where I left off, but we're going to do this one called Circles. From, as always, Poetic Rhetoric, Nonsensical Blasphemy by Garrett Michael Conklin. Circles. Circles are round, some bulbous, some wound, but all are some kind of revolver, often mistaken for a valid problem solver. Though dope smoking is fun, it portrays you rather dumb, for when you become numb, your life and all fall out from the warm blanket of the sun. We all may get lost, but at what final cost? Every day getting sauced is giving up on your post. At least take the most or end up a ghost wandering around from haunting house to earthwormy ground. It should be clear that when you are in fear, your token will not be enough and life will have gotten too tough. So I want to say that you should walk away. Instead of inhaling more, simply pass it on no more. Then you can find friends after all of your mends. Instead of a false high, you'll have finally given life a try and left that old someone alone to cry. Corny as that sounds, it's all just a lie as I sit here and cry for all that I've lost, not in pounds. Delivered by one who carries a gun, abruptly approaching me now. I wonder what if, you dumbass dead stiff, you go on and take your last bow. Circles are round, and now we have found that alas, yes, once more, we've come back to our core. I don't know. Some of these poems to me, man, they're a little bit out there, and I have no idea what I'm talking about. But hopefully they are fun and entertaining, because I haven't heard anyone say, hey, dumbass, stop reading poems at the end of your podcast. Nobody listens to it. They suck. And with that, that's it for me on Monday, August 16th. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a good week ahead, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.